morning. My name is Michael McCusker. March has been Women's History Month. Only recently have women's claims to history been taken seriously. And in American society, it is still difficult to entertain much other than a male Caucasian cosmology, which is tokenly admitted by Black History Month of February, preceding this past month of March, which is dedicated to the much neglected history of women. The social, political, and personal equality of women transcends every other pressing equity because it is the most necessary correction for humanity to make, as well as the most potent force to successfully fulfill virtually everything else that needs to be done if our species is to continue to survive on planet Gaia, Mother Earth. This is something I wrote for my newspaper, the North Coast Times-Eagle. Ms. Smith goes to Washington. And a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt, women must get into the political game and stay in it. Despite the fact that the binary political party system seems determined to stick with two white males for the nation's highest office, a woman elected president of the United States in the year 2024 would be a proper advent to the new millennium. American women have had the vote for a century, an almost equal amount of time women spent fighting to attain it. For most of those years, women rather passively voted the way their husbands or boyfriends voted. Women voted for the first time in equal numbers as men in 1980, and in 1982, more women voted than men. Though women voted differently than men that year and succeeding years, they did not necessarily vote for women. A significant change was made in 1992 when women campaigned in unprecedented numbers for every conceivable office in the country, local, state, and federal, including at least one woman for president. Women entered politics backed by other women, finally using their majority power to elect women to public office. Women and supportive men of the two major political parties could successfully put forward prominent and well-qualified women as candidates for the presidency of each party this year if they start working at it now. It is not an impossible idea. It is a much better idea than the knee-jerk assumptions that only two white males are the only reasonable choices, a form of gender apartheid by a status quo, unwilling to see beyond its own shriveled genitals. We at least have the first woman vice president. There is certainly precedence for women running for office and becoming president. Liberals and leftists have periodically fronted women for president, more often as VP in third parties, and once in the Democratic Party with Geraldine Ferraro in 1980. Women have contributed hugely to American history, but as it is with blacks and others who have helped build this nation, their contributions have been ignored and undervalued. Even before Europeans settled the Americas, American women were powerful forces in their separate communities and tribal councils. Iroquois women owned the land and controlled the economy by supervising the distribution of food. The Cherokee Women's Council helped select male leaders, declared war, and determined the fate of captives. In 1540, Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto was welcomed in present-day Georgia by a woman chieftain who gave him a string of pearls. Perhaps the beginning of the present-day women's movement was in 1640 when Ann Hibbins of Boston insisted she had the right to complain about male carpenters she had hired. Church elders attacked her for thinking she could handle such affairs better than her husband, quote, which is a plain breach of the rule of Christ, unquote. She was excommunicated and was hanged for witchcraft 16 years later. Women agitated for equality long before the American Revolution. A group of women complained in a letter to the New York Journal in 1733, "We are housekeepers, pay our taxes, carry on trade, and most of us are she merchants, and as we in some measure contribute to the support of government, we ought to be entitled to some of the sweets of it." The Civil War, as it did every facet of American society, altered the structure and goals of the feminist movement in America, which began to concentrate primarily on women's suffrage as the process through which every other form of equality would be certified. In May 1866, men and women from the American Anti-Slavery Society and women's rights groups joined forces to form the American Equal Rights Association in New York. With Lucretia Mott as president and Susan B. Anthony as corresponding secretary, the group began a campaign for suffrage for all African Americans and all women. Thousands of women signed a petition drafted by Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton that demanded Congress initiate a constitutional amendment to, quote, prohibit the several states from disenfranchising any of their citizens on the grounds of sex, unquote. Congress passed the 14th Amendment in 1866, and it was ratified in 1868. It stated that all persons born or naturalized in the United States were citizens and guaranteed due process and equal protection under the laws. However, another section referred to voting rights in terms of male citizens, the first time this qualification appeared in the Constitution. Stanton ran for Congress that year, though she was not allowed to vote, and although she received only 24 votes of 12,000 cast, she proved women had the right to campaign for public office. Stanton and Anthony formed the National Women's Suffrage Association to push for a constitutional amendment guaranteeing women the vote in 1869. Later that year, Lucy Stone, Julia Ward Howe, and others established a countergroup, the American Women's Suffrage Association. The two groups were rivals for 20 years. In December 1869, Wyoming Territory granted women's suffrage in its new constitution. The legislature also guaranteed married women rights to their own property and approved equal pay for male and female teachers. The following year, Utah Territory gave the vote to women, took it away in 1887, and restored it in 1896. Colorado's women got the vote in 1893, after prominent local socialites joined the state suffrage movement. By 1896, four contiguous states, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah, had full suffrage, but no other state would for 14 more years. In 1890, Congress attempted to deny Wyoming's application for statehood because it allowed women to vote, but in a close vote admitted it as the only state in which women could vote in a federal election. Women pushed for their rights to vote in elections all over the country in the late 19th century, and Victoria Woodhull became the first woman to campaign for the presidency in 1872, forming her own Equal Rights Party. Susan B. Anthony and 16 other women were arrested in Rochester, New York that year when they tried to vote in the presidential elections. Anthony declared, "It is we the people, not we, the white male citizens, nor we, the male citizens, but we, the whole people who formed this union. We formed it not to give the blessings of liberty, but to secure them, not to the half of ourselves and the half of our posterity, but to the whole people, women as well as men. It is downright mockery to talk to women of their enjoyment of the blessings of liberty while they are denied the only means of securing them provided by the Democratic Republican government, the ballot. And that was Susan B. Anthony. Katie and Stanton managed to get Congress to vote on a constitutional suffrage amendment in 1878 called the Anthony Amendment. It was reintroduced every year for the next 41 years until it finally became the 19th Amendment. It states simply, the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state on account of sex, quote, unquote. The Senate waited 9 years to debate and vote on the Anthony Amendment with 16 for, 34 against, and 26 absent in 1887. The Senate did nothing more until March 1914, when for the first time in 27 years, the amendment was brought out of committee to vote on it again with 35 for and 34 against. That same year, activist teacher Harriet Rodman formed the Feminist Alliance, which demanded the removal of all social, political, and other discriminations which are based on sex, and the award of all rights and duties in all fields on the basis of individual capacity alone, quote, unquote. After President Woodrow Wilson spoke out in favor of the Stanton Amendment in January 1918, the House passed the measure for the first time, 274-136 against, just the two-thirds required majority. Despite a direct plea by Wilson, the Senate defeated it by two votes. In regard to state suffrage, by 1910, Oregon had failed to pass five such referendums. But that same year, Washington became the first state since 1896 to grant women the vote, approving the measure by almost 2-1. In 1911, suffragists mounted an intense campaign in California, and by 3,857 votes, the state's women won the right to cast their own ballots. In 1914, suffrage was on the ballot in seven states, defeated in Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, North and South Dakota. It won in Montana and Nevada. Four East Coast states voted down suffrage in 1915. They were Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. 2 years later, New York overturned the earlier vote and became the first East Coast state to grant women suffrage. Also that year, 1917, women gained the right to vote after legislative action in six states, Indiana, Michigan, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, and Rhode Island. They also won the right to vote in primaries in Arkansas, Michigan, Oklahoma, and South Dakota gained full suffrage the following year. And in Texas, women were allowed to vote in primaries through legislative action, though literacy tests prevented many Black and Mexican-American women from voting. The House approved the 19th Amendment in May 1919, 304-89, after a lame duck Senate defeated it in February that year. The Senate finally reversed its long rejection to women's suffrage in June with a vote of 66-30. Within 1 week, three states, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan, ratified the amendment, and by the end of the year, more than 20 states had passed the measure. By the end of March 1920, 35 of the required 36 states had ratified the amendment. a single vote in the Tennessee House of Representatives in August, Harry Byrne, whose mother was a suffragist, and told him to be a good boy and vote for ratification, gave the U.S. Constitution its 19th Amendment, which was declared official on August 26th. Two other states, Vermont and Connecticut, ratified it later. And that was something I wrote. Ms. Smith goes to Washington. And now, I'd like to read by the late Bunny Dorr, Perpetual Politics. Thinking about politics now, who is going to be the next county commissioner? Are there any openings on the boards and commissions of Clatsop County or the cities of Astoria, Seaside, Warrenton, Napa, Cannon Beach? The purpose of a local caucus, as of caucuses throughout the United States, is to involve women in politics from the local school board to the White House. The Women's Caucus does not care whether they are Republicans, Democrats, or Independents, or if they are Libertarians, followers of Ross Perot, or members of a Green Party. They are not concerned with age, nationality, race, ethnic background, or marital status, except to try to reach every segment of the population. They are not concerned with age, nationality, race, ethnic background, or marital status, except to try to reach every segment of the population. As long as they are feminist women, the caucus wants to recruit them, train them, support, and elect them. Feminist women? Yes. Meaning those who believe in equality for women, economic, social, political, and in women's right to be heard. As a member of the State Steering Committee of the Oregon Women's Political Caucus, I can point out some touchstones for women and some men supported by the group. They must be pro-choice without reservations. They must believe in the worth of an Equal Rights Amendment, and they must support measures to provide child care, even if it means government subsidies are required. And that was by the late Bunny Dorr, who lived in Gearhart. This is Michael McCusker. Joanne Rideout is this program's engineer. April's Fools succeeds March Madness, in its turn replaced by the merry month of May, in which the luxuriant blossom of vernality truly blooms. The Vietnam War ended on the last day of March in 1975, 49 years ago, already a previous millennial artifact. Vietnam veterans who continue to survive on both sides of that war are nearly the oldest living war veterans worldwide. Soon enough, we shall also blow away into artifactual dust devils. Happy All Fools Day, 2024.
You've been listening to A Story Told on KMUN, featuring Michael McCusker, journalist, activist, former firefighter, and Vietnam veteran. Michael has been sharing essays and poetry on A Story Told since 1987. For 30 years, he published the North Coast Times-Eagle newspaper out of his home in Astoria, Oregon. Michael currently shares his work and the works of other authors from his home on the Central Oregon coast. Join us here next week for A Story Told.